bottom of Yud Beis Amud Beis, 9 lines from the bottom at the end of the line. The Gemara has a story. Ushbezichne de Rava bar Avchanan havale isuryasa de chardala. So Rava's host had these mustard stalks. So Amar le mahu lefaruche umechal minayu biyantif. The question was, are you allowed to remove the husks, the outside of the mustard stalks, to eat them? Now, again, usually we just assume ochal nefesh is always mutter on yantif. Why is this even a question? So it's not 100% clear that any and every malacha is always mutter on yantif for ochal nefesh. Again, it's a whole discussion, you know, which we'll get to, whether that's always the case. But basically the issue is, can you just remove the husk, the stalks, the outside of the mustard seed in order to get to the seeds that are inside? Again, this is potentially an issue of dush, of threshing. So the Gemara says, lo hafa biyad, he didn't know the answer. So Rava said, it's mutter. Rava said, you're allowed to remove husks from kernels on yantif. You're allowed to remove the outside of a legume, of a bean on yantif. All of that is fine. So the Gemara says, hang on a second. So again, it's not so relevant what the specific halachos here in this brisa are, but it's really just the inference in the brisa. But the halachos that Abai references in this brisa are the following: that the Gemara tells us, if a person removed the husks from the kernels of wheat on Erev Shabbos, so on Shabbos itself, you're allowed to basically blow on the kernels to remove them. That's not considered a form of zoreh, of winnowing, because you know, that's not normally how you remove chaff, by blowing on it, so that's considered mutter. But what you're not allowed to do is use what's called a kanon or a tamchle, which is some kind of a basket or a tray or a plate. Those are considered forms of zoreh or dush midrabanan. Those are asur on Shabbos. And when it comes to yantif, the Gemara is even more makel. The Gemara says that if you remove the husks before yantif, so you could certainly blow on the chaff on yantif, that's for sure, okay? And you could even use the kanon and the tamchoy, the tray and the basket, because those are not considered real normal ways of winnowing and threshing mid oraisa. What you can't do is to use a tool or to use an implement which is really used, meant for winnowing mid oraisa. Like, for example, a tablet or a sieve, a winnower, a sifter, those kinds of things you're not allowed to use. But the point of this whole braisa, says the Gemara, is that you see from here that may erev yantif in biyantif lo. The Gemara only allows you to do these various mechanisms of blowing away the chaff, or using a tray, or using a basket to sort out the chaff from the inside of the legume or of the seeds on Erev Yantif, implying that on Yantif itself it's usher. That seems to go against what we just said, to which the Gemara says, no, afilu tema b'yantif va'aydei desana reisha me'erev Shabbos ta'ana seifanami me'erev Yantif. In reality, this is mutter on Yantif too, and the only reason why the Braisa spoke about Erev Yantif is just to parallel the first case which talked about Erev Shabbos. Fine. So now the problem is, the Gemara says, in Cain, matzinu truma shezakai baharamasa usnan lo imamartim betruma she'enu zakai baharamasa. The problem is that now our Gemara clearly indicates that there are scenarios in which it is permissible and perhaps even, in fact, perhaps even obligatory to separate truma on yantif. This is part of the whole theme of the Gemara that we've discussed already, whether hafrashas truma is mutter on yantif. And we know that on Shabbos you're not allowed to do that because it's an isur d'rabbanan of mechzik imasakin, and it looks like makah bepatish. But on yantif, the Gemara seems to be assuming that it's obviously okay. Why is it obviously okay? Because otherwise, how are you allowed to eat this if you didn't do hafrashas truma? Otherwise, it's going to be tevel. The fact that there's a case where you're allowed to eat it obviously assumes that you already took off truma. The problem is that we have a Mishnah that says that you're not allowed to do afrashas truma on yantif. So which one is correct? So the Gemara says, no, lo kasha, ha-rebi yosef rebi yudah, it's a machlokas. Desanya, hichnes shibolin lasos mehen isa, ochel mehen arai ufater, lemolon bimalilos, rebi michayav rebi yosef rebi yudah poter. So the first case doesn't really interest us. The first case in the brisa just means that if I brought stalks of grain into my house for the purpose of making them into dough, so everybody agrees that if you want to just snack on the grain before you process it into dough, you can do that without doing any sort of afrashas truma or meiser. That's completely fine. The machlokas comes up when it's what's called molon bimalilos, meaning to say you want to remove the husks and just kind of pop the kernels into your mouth, kind of like popcorn. You just want to eat it right away. You don't want to process it into anything further. That's a machlokas whether you're allowed to do that without doing hafrasha. Rebbe says you have to do the hafrasha before you can even pop the kernels in your mouth, whereas Rebbe Yossi Rebbe Yehuda says that you don't need to do that. And the Gemara even clarifies. The Gemara says, Rebbe Yossi Rebbe Yehuda nami mishkachas la kigon shehichne shibolin lasos me'an isa v'nimlach alein lemolon biyantif the tavla biyom. And even according to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, You could also construct a case where you would be chayav. Let's say, for example, you initially brought the stalks of grain into your house with the intention of making them into a dough, and then you changed your mind and decided to just eat them on the spot. So then also Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda would agree that you would be chayav to do afrasha first, because in that scenario, there was a point in time where the grain was considered tevel when you initially wanted to make it into dough. So what does the Mishnah mean when it says that there's never a scenario where you could do afrasha truman yant? If you see that it's not true, so the Gemara says you're right. Elamai truma rov truma, it means most of the time. In the majority of cases, you are not allowed to do afrashas truman yot, if there are a couple of exceptions, as with Gemara just noted. Okay, and the Gemara says, Amar Abaye, machlokas vishibalin, aval bekitnios divri hakol isor yasatav. This is the first version of the Gemara. In the first version of Abaye, he explains that this machlokas that we just referenced between Rebbe and Rebbe Yosi Rebbe Yehuda, as to whether you need to do afrashas truma before you decide to pop the kernels in your mouth, that machlokas, says Abaye in the first version of the Gemara, is specifically regarding stalks of grain. But let's say you have legumes. Let's say you have a stalk of beans, of legumes, things of that nature. Everybody agrees that the stalks themselves already qualify as tevel. Now, normally, in order for something to require hafreshes, truma, and meiser, it needs to be considered tevel. If it's not yet at the stage where it's called tevel, then you're not yet chayav to do hafresha. So according to version number one of the Gemara, when you have stalks or bundles of legumes, that automatically qualifies as tevel, and you don't need to do anything else, and in order to eat those legumes, you must do hafreshes, truma first. So the Gemara now is going to try to support this. Lema Misayel. Gemara cites a Mishnah, Meseches Trumos, to try and corroborate this. Misha Hayulo Chavile Tilton Shel Tevel, Hareza Kosish Umechashiv Kamazera Yishbohem. The Mishnah tells us as follows. Let's say you have bundles of fenugreek, right? Some people eat fenugreek on Rosh Hashanah, right? Fenugreek is considered a type of a legume. It's a bean. So a person has bundles of fenugreek, and they happen to be tevel. So the Mishnah says as follows. What you can do is, you can crush up the beans, and then you have to make some kind of a calculation to figure out what's the ratio between the beans versus the stalks. And the bottom line is that you only have to do a fresh truma on the amount of the beans and not on the amount of the stalks. We'll see why in a second. So the Gemara says, my lav Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda da'amar hasam lo tavla hacha tavla. This Mishnah in Trumos seems to support Rabbi Yosi b'Rabbi Yehuda. Again, remember, Rabbi Yosi b'Rabbi Yehuda was the one who distinguished between bundles of wheat versus bundles of legumes. Right? That was the whole thrust of his halacha. He was the one who told us that when it comes to that, in other words, when you're just popping the kernels into your mouth, that's where we say that it's not considered to be where, in other words, in that case you're potter, where you don't have to do hafrusha first. Whereas in the case of the legumes, everyone agrees that it's considered tevel. So the fact that the Mishnah in Trumos is even focusing in on legumes, so that would seem to indicate that Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda is correct. That distinction is in fact true. To which the Gemara says, "Lo, it's not true, Rebbe." So the Gemara says, "But hang on a second, I Rebbe, my area tiltan afilu shibalin nami." But if you're going to say that the Mishnah is really conforming with the Shita of Rebbe, again, Rebbe being the one who said that you're chayav to do afreshes truma even before taking the husks off and popping the kernels into your mouth, so then why does the Mishnah focus only on fenugreek, which is a legume? Why doesn't it also mention the fact that wheat is also something which Rebbe holds that you have to do afreshes for? So the Gemara says, okay, Elamai Rebbe Yosef Rebbe Yehuda, Yishamin and Sharmin and Kitneos v'choshek and Tiltan. But if you're going to then go back to our original assumption that the Mishnah really reflects the Shita of Rebbe Yosef Rebbe Yehuda, why did the Mishnah only focus on fenugreek? In other words, the Mishnah could have mentioned any sort of bean, any sort of legume. This halacha should be true. So the Gemara says, you're right. Ela tiltan etshtrichalik. Sal kadayta chamina ho v'tam eitzo fir yoshave lifrosh nami aitzo kamash malan. The Gemara says that one could have argued that since the stalks and the beans of the fenugreek apparently taste the same, one could have argued that one is also chayav to do afreshes truma, not just on the beans, but also on the stalks. So the chiddush of the Mishnah in Trumos is that you're not chayav to do afreshes truma on the stalks. So the reason why the Mishnah in Trumos, according to the first version of the Gemara at least, focused on specifically on fenugreek was to teach us a chiddush about fenugreek, namely that you're only chayav to do hafrusha on the beans and not on the stalk. So that chiddush is not really relevant to the main thrust of the Gemara. It was just kind of parenthetical to the case of the Mishnah in Trumos. Yeah, Billy.
Are we assuming that the stalks are edible? Is
that will? They have to be edible. Otherwise, there's no chiyuv hafrusha. Exactly. Yeah. The chiddush is that even though they're edible, there's still no chiyuv. That's the chiddush, right? Yeah. Okay, so that's version number one. Now, version number two. Ika da amre, amar abai machlukas v'shibolen avol b'kidneos divrei hakol isur yasa lo tavla. In the second version, we say the exact opposite of the first version. The second version of the Gemara assumes that the machlukas between Rebbe and Rabbi Yosi b'Rabbi Yehuda about whether you have to do afreshes truma before you pop the kernels in your mouth is only by wheat. When it comes to legumes, in this version, we assume that bundles of legumes certainly are not considered to be tevel, which means that you can pop the beans in your mouth without first doing hafresha. So now we're going to quote the exact same Mishnah in trumas that we just quoted, but instead of using it as a support, we're going to use it as a question. So the Gemara says, "Meisvei, misha hayu lo chavile tilton shal tevel hareis hakosei shumechash if kama zera yishbahen umafer shal azera ve'en umafer shal eitz." So again, that same Mishnah regarding the fenugreek, that you have to do the hafrusha on the fenugreek. So the Gemara asks, "My lav tevel tavul shal truma?" Isn't that case in the Mishnah in Trumos talking about, well, basically what we call regular tevel? In other words, it's produce where no hafrusha has been done. You haven't taken off truma, you haven't taken off meiser, nothing's been separated yet, and yet the Mishnah seems to be indicating to us that there's a way to process the fenugreek where you can basically just, you know, do some kind of a cheshbon, take off truma based on the seeds and not based on the stalks, and that would suffice. That would seem to be against what we just suggested in the Gemara, in the second version at least, which is that everyone agrees that bundles of legumes, bundles of fenugreek, are not considered tevel. To which the Gemara says, "Lo tevel tovel shol truma smaiser." Uchid Rabbi Avo Amar Rav Shimon ben Lakish. Amar Rabbi Avo Amar Rav Shimon ben Lakish. Meiser rishon shehigdimu b'shibalin shmo tovel l'shruma smaiser. Says the Gemara, a very, very complicated case. Basically, the case was as follows: there was a Levi who went ahead, he jumped the gun, he took his Meiser Rishon from your stalks that belonged to you, the Israel, before you got, you know, before you got around to giving Truma to the Kohen. Why does that make a difference? Why does that matter? So the Gemara quotes the statement of Reish Lakish, who says that if the Levi jumped the gun and took his Meiser Rishon while the grain was still in its stalk form, before it had been fully processed, so the din is, the Gemara says, Shmo Tovlo Lisrumas Meiser. That is considered to be Tevel for the purposes of Trumas Meiser. Truma Meiser just means that when the Levi gets his share of Meiser, he still has to give Truma to the Kohen. It just happened to be that in this case, he basically reversed the order. Normally, the Pasuk says in Parshas Mishpatim, Malei Aschav Dimachal Lo Sa'acher. You're normally not allowed to reverse the order of Truma and Meiser. You're supposed to give Truma first, and then Meiser, as we're going to talk about on the next Talmud in a second. But basically, the Levi jumped the gun. So the Chiddush of the Gemara is that if I have this Meiser Rishon that the Levi went ahead and took, this now turns into Tevel. In other words, whereas before, according to the second version of the Gemara, the stalks of legumes, of fenugreek, are not considered Tevel until they're processed, here, once the Levi jumped the gun and took his Meiser, even though he wasn't really supposed to do that yet, it now all of a sudden transforms into Tevel for the purposes now that now require me, the Yisrael, to give Truma to the Kohen. That's the case according to the second version. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Rabbi. So, yeah. Again, just getting back to the Kohen and the Levi, you choose whomever you want, correct?
Yeah, that
whichever
correct.
Coin, whichever Levi.
Correct. That's
so
yeah.
So Levi goes ahead, doesn't know he's chosen, and yet goes and helps himself.
So that's a separate question. That's a question regarding what's called Tovas Hana. The Gemara talks about this in several places in Shas about basically the fact that I have the right to decide which specific Kohen or Levi gets the Truma or Meiser. That's true, but Lemaisa at the end of the day, if a Kohen or Levi just took it on their own, so that's a whole question whether they would be entitled to it. But that's not even the issue here. The issue here is that the Levi basically jumped in front of the line. Let's say, yeah, in other words, even if it was the Levi that I wanted to give to, he still should not have taken before I gave it to the Kohen. That's the issue. Okay, so now the Gemara wants to know, Koseish Lamali, Lemale, Kehechi Diavali, Hachia Hivnolach. So now the Gemara just has kind of a technical question on the Mishnah in Trumos. The Mishnah in Trumos said that when the Levi took his Meiser, and now he has to turn around and give the Truma to the Kohen, so the Mishnah used the verb Koseish. He has to crush up the fenugreek, has to crush up the legumes. Why can't the Levi just turn around to the Kohen and say, the same way that I received the fenugreek unprocessed, meaning to say the Yisrael didn't process it for me, so maybe I'm going to hand it to you the same way. Why do I have to go to the trouble of crushing it up and processing it when I give it to you? So the Gemara says simply, Amar Rava Kenasa. It's a penalty for the fact that the Levi jumped the gun and took his Meiser Rishon before the Kohen got the Truma. We're going to make him give it to the Kohen in a fully processed form. And the Gemara says, Tani Nami Hachi, Ben Levi Shenasnu Lo Shibolin Ben Maestrosav, Osa Osan Goren, Anavim Osa Osan Yayin, Zesim Osa Osan Shemen, Umafer Shalam Trumas Meiser Ven Nosan Lachoin, Shekashem Shetruma Gedola, Ain Any Telas Elemen Agorin Umin Hayakev, Kach Trumas Meiser, Ain Any Telas Elemen Agorin Umin Hayakev. The Gemara says it's essentially a penalty, as the Brisa notes, that basically whenever the Levi receives anything as Meiser, whether it's grapes, olives, grain, whatever the case may be, he needs to process it into either wine or olive oil, again, whatever the case is, before handing it to the Kohen, because the same way that obligation is true when it comes to regular Truma, if I as the Yisrael am giving Truma to a Kohen, the halacha is you have to give him min hagoren u min hayekev, right? The Pasuk says in Parsha Shoftim, dagan tirosh v'yitzhar. I'm sorry, in Parsha Korach, it says dagan tirosh v'yitzhar. You have to give wine, grain, and oil. That's the chi of de'oraisa of Truma, implying that it has to be fully processed. You can't just hand the Kohen raw wheat. You can't hand him just grapes off the stalk. It has to be processed into wine, into oil, into whatever the case is. The same is true for the Levi giving it to the Kohen. He has to process it as well. Then the Gemara has another question. Mechashev ha-medida boy. Now the Gemara has another shayla. If you looked at carefully in the Mishnah in Shrumos, the Mishnah said that the Levi was, I'm sorry, that the Yisrael, when he's separating the Truma from the fenugreek, is mechashev. Now, the word mechashev has the connotation of a very specific, you know, calculation from the word cheshbon. The problem is that Mida Oraisa, Truma does not really require a cheshbon. Mida Oraisa, the Gemara says, Mesaches Ge, in other places, that afilu chita achas poteres esakri. Mida Oraisa, you could take one stalk of grain and call that Truma. We know when it comes to Meiser, you have to give a tenth. That's the chi of the Oraisa. When it comes to Truma, on the other hand, Mida Oraisa, you can give a very small amount that doesn't really require a calculation. And even midrabbanan, there's still a range when it comes to hafreshes truma between a 40th and a 60th, depending on how stingy or how giving you are. So at the end of the day, why does the Mishnah use this very specific calculation word mechashev? Should have used the more general term of medida, which means an estimation. So the Gemara says, no, hamani abba elazar ben gimel, desani abba elazar ben gimel omer, v'nechshav lochem terumaschem, b'shtei trumas akasa medaber, achas truma gedola v'achas trumas meiser, k'shem shetruma gedola nitelas pe'omet uv'machshava, kach trumas meiser nitelas pe'omet uv'machshava. Basically, the Gemara interprets a pasuk from the end of Parshas Korach that says that you have to make a cheshbon, you have to be nechshav your truma. That's a reference to two types of truma. One is regular truma gedola, what the Yisrael gives to the Kohen. The other is what's called trumas meiser, again, as we noted earlier, what the Levi gives from his meiser as truma to the Kohen. And the Gemara basically notes that just as Trumas Meiser is given with an estimation, it's not a specific amount, so too when it comes to Trumas Meiser. What the Gemara is basically saying is that the word Mechashev can also mean an estimation. It doesn't have to mean a specific cheshbon. Okay, then the Gemara says, Gufa, Amar Rabbi Avo, Amar Rav Shum ben Lakish, Meiser Rishon Shehigdimu Bishibolin Shmo Tovu L'Shumas Meiser Maitam. Again, this is the Gemara we had back on the previous Amud, where the Gemara noted that if the Levi jumped the gun and took his Meiser Rishon while the grain was still on the stalks, we said that now all of a sudden that grain transforms it to tevel and now requires me to give truma to the kohen. How do I know that? So the Gemara says, "Amar Rava, ho aviyatzal lev shei meiser." Since the Levi jumped the gun and separated meiser, the fact that he took the meiser now also obligates me, or obligates the grain as a whole, for hafrasha to give the truma to the kohen. Okay. Then the Gemara says, "Amar Rav Shimon ben Lakish, meiser rishon shehigdimu b'shibolin pater mitruma gedola shene'emar v'harei mosem mimenu trumas Hashem maaser min amaser maaser min amaser amarti lecha velo truma gedola." Utrumas maaser min amaser. Gemara has a halacha which almost seems to be counter to what we just said a second ago. The Gemara now tells us, if let's say the Levi jumped the gun, but instead of taking Meiser before the Truma while the grain was still in its stalk form growing from the ground, he did so when it was already in a pile. It's already been basically processed. So in that case, the Gemara says, then he's going to be putter, then the Yisrael is putter from giving Truma to the Kohen. Why is that? So the Gemara interprets a pasuk in Parshas Korach that says, V'harei mosem mimenu trumas Hashem ma'aser min ha-ma'aser. That you have to give, as we already noted earlier, everything has to be given in a specific order. So you have to give maser min hamaser, and not truma gedola and trumas maser min hamaser, which basically means that if the Levi went ahead and took his maser from the pile of grain before the kohen, so then you're off the hook from giving truma to the kohen. So the obvious question here is, amar le rapap al yabai, hachi afilu higdimu b'chrinami. What's the difference? In other words, why in the case of the stalks do we say that the fact that the Levi jumped the gun and took his maser, that doesn't exempt you from giving truma to the kohen, but all of a sudden when it's in a pile, that somehow changes the halacha. Why does that change anything? So the Gemara says, no, there's a big difference. Amar le, alecha, amar kra, the girsa here should be mikol mat no seichem, torimu es kol trumas Hashem. It also says in Parshas Korach that all the gifts that you give to the Kohen, you have to give truma. So the question is, okay, but umara isa, again, what's the difference? Why in the case of the stalks do I still have to give truma, but not in the case of the pile? So the Gemara says very simply, hai idgan v'hai lo idgan, the difference is that when the grain is still in its stalk form, it hasn't been processed. It hasn't reached the stage where it can even really qualify as tevel yet. So therefore, you can't, in other words, in that case, you can't really circumvent your chiyuv to give truma because the chiyuv hasn't really began yet. Well, once the Levi takes the meiser, then the chiyuv of truma kicks in. In the case where it's already piled into the stalk, into the pile, it's already been processed, then you would be exempted from giving truma. Okay, the Gemara says Tanan Hasam. We have a Mishnah in Maseches Meiseros. Hamekalif Seorin, Mekalif Achasachas Viochel, Vim Kolaf Venasan Lesochiadu Chayav, Amar Rabbi Elazar V'chein L'Shabes. So the Mishnah tells us as follows: if let's say a guy has some barley and he's just basically peeling back the outside and he's popping the barley into his mouth, so that's okay. He could do that without having to do hafreshes maestros first. He doesn't take off maestros, he can just pop them into his mouth one at a time. However, if he wants to take a bunch of them, he wants to take, 10 barley corns and peel them all off and pop them all into his mouth, then he would have to first do hafreshes maestros. And Rabbi Elazar says, the same is true when it comes to Shabbos. What does that mean? So for the purposes of Meleches Dush, right, norm for threshing, so basically what Rabbi Elazar is assuming is that if you just take off the husk of one barley corn on Shabbos, that's okay. But if you start peeling multiple barley corns on Shabbos, that's a problem of Dush. The Gemara says, Ini, is that true? V'harav mekafale devisu kase kase, v'rav chia mekafale devisu kase kase. Both Rav and Rav Chia's wives used to peel multiple barley corns on Shabbos. So how is that okay? So the Gemara says, you're right. Ela itmar asefa itmar. Rabbi Elazar's comment was referring to the latter part of that Mishnah in Maestros, namely where it said, Hamolel melilos shalchitim menapeach al yad ve'ochel ve'im nafach ve'nasan lesoch cheko chayav. Amar Rabbi Elazar v'chein l'shabbos. The Mishnah says that if you're removing the husks from grain, from kernels of wheat, again, as we noted earlier in the Gemara, you can blow on them on Shabbos because that's considered a shinui. That's not a normal way to do dush or to do zorah. But if you're going to blow on them and put them in your lap, that's considered to be more of a normal way because you can put more wheat kernels in your lap. And Rabbi Elazar, and so in other words, that's the standard when it comes to hafreshes maestros. And Rabbi Elazar says the same is true for Shabbos. So again, according to Rabbi Elazar, if you were to just blow the barley, the husks off the wheat, and if it's one piece of wheat in your hand, that's okay on Shabbos. And if you have multiple pieces that are sitting in your lap and you blow all the husks away, then that would be a problem of dush. So the Gemara asks, Maskiflo Rabbi Abba Bar Mamel, Vereisha Le Meiser in Le Shabbos Lo, Umiyika Midi De Le Inyan Shabbos Lo Havi Gemar Malacha, Ule Meiser Havi Gemar Malacha. The Gemara wants to know, how could there be basically a double standard? How could you say that for the purposes of Meiser, something qualifies as Gemar Malacha? In other words, in order for something to be Chayav and Hafreshes Meistros, it needs to reach the stage of Gemar Malacha. It has to be fully processed in order for it to be considered Tevel to be Chayav and Meiser. And yet when it comes to Shabbos, we're assuming that the standards are different. So the Gemara says, why is that such a crazy concept? Maskiflo Rav Sheshes Berei de Rav Idi Velo, v'garnan lemaiser, disnan, ezehu garnan lemaiser, hakishuin v'haduluin misha yipaksu, v'shalo paksu misha yamin arema, usnanami gabi betzola misha yamin arema, v'ilu gabi shabbos ha-madasari impata. The Gemara says, what do you mean? It's not such a crazy concept. We find this all the time, that there are different standards for maiser and for Shabbos. For example, the Mishnah Maestro says that the point at which, let's say, for example, cucumbers and gourds are chayev and maiser, so normally the shear is what's called misha yipaksu. When you trim the hairs on the top of the cucumber or the gourd, if you didn't do that, then you're only chayav once you start to pile them into a pile. And the same is true when it comes to onions. When you put them in a pile, then they're chayav. And yet when it comes to Shabbos, there is no ister to pile vegetables in a pile. There's no malacha involved. So obviously the standards are different. So elamayis lecholamemar malachas machsheves asr Torah. Hachanami malachas machsheves asr Torah. As we know, as you mentioned this, you know, basically 100 times back in Masechet Shabbos, when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos, the standards is always malachas machsheves. If it was, you know, again, which either means it was done in the Mishkan, it was something that was created, whatever your definition of Melechus Machsheves is, the standards are clearly going to be different when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos versus any other area of Halacha. Okay. Then the Gemara says, Ketzan Molo. How exactly are you supposed to remove these husks from the wheat, from the barley? So Abayi Mishmei Derav Yosef Amar Chada Achada. Basically what you do is you take the barley corn or the wheat kernel and you put it between your thumb and your index finger and you kind of just roll it off. For Rav Avyo Mishmei Derav Yosef Amar Chada. Tarte, you could do it between your thumb and your index and middle finger, those two fingers together. Rava Amar Kevin De Mishane. Rava says, since the whole thing is a shinui anyway, this is not a normal way to thresh, to use your fingers to remove the husks, so you can use all four of your fingers to remove it if you want, and that's still okay. Then the Gemara says, Ketzan minapeach, how do you blow away the husks in a permissible way? You have to make sure to place all the kernels on the upper half of your palm, of your hand, basically above your knuckles. So the Gemara says, in Eretz Yisrael, they mocked this pshat. They said, but as we just noted a second ago, this whole thing is a shinui anyway. No one does winnowing and threshing by placing something into their hand and blowing on the husks. So why do I have to dafka put it on the upper half of my hand? I can put it in the middle of the palm of my hand also if I want. So the Gemara says, you're right. Elo Amar Rabbi Elazar, menapeach biyadavachas uvchol kocho. You can place it in one hand. You can even blow with all your strength. And that's okay, because again, the whole thing is a shinui. It's not considered a normal form of threshing or winnowing. Okay.